Shut up and sit down.
What's going on, guys? This is the MMA Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
And we're back. Brand new episode. This is a little different episode for us. We are doing it from separate on Zoom. James is on the road. I am in my casa. And we're going to break down some fights for this weekend. Maybe talk a little Super Bowl. I'm not a big, you know, you can give your predictions on that. Yeah, we're going to catch up and see what's going on this weekend. So tonight, as we speak, I think BKFC with Paige VanZant debuting is tonight. I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you're going to be able to catch that. I'm going to try to catch that. So when this comes out, it's going to come out tonight. So that event will be done. But go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say that I'm interested to see how she looks, how Paige VanZant looks. Mm.
Yeah, I don't know much about her opponent. I'm thinking that, you know, she's in a, I think best case scenario for her is that she doesn't get blown out of the water and then that she doesn't get, you know, stopped by TKO or knockout. That's the best, you know, outcome for her. I don't think anybody's expecting this to be any technical brawl. You know what I mean? I think it's just going to be a fight with two girls slugging it out. And I think that's, as long as she can hold her own and finish out the fight, I think she'll be okay.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I feel like she's going to know her opponent isn't very known. I don't know. I just have a bad feeling about her debut.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, I got a good sense. I got some sense of her, how she is at the weigh-ins. It's basically it. I don't know if anybody really is too familiar with her. Maybe they are. Maybe she's a, I don't even know her record. I don't even know if she comes from MMA or if she comes from boxing or what, but you know, I guess we'll find out tonight.
Are you surprised that she's still fighting, that Paige VanZant is still fighting?
Because
I am.
I think so. Yeah. Because she's been around for a long time, but she doesn't have a lengthy record. I think she's you know, she's had a lot of injuries with her forearm and all that breaking. I don't think she really needs the money, but you know what? We don't know nowadays. It's like, because these MMA fighters, even the elite ones, don't get paid like millions and millions of dollars, even though she probably got paid one of the highest paid out of the females. I don't know. I don't know why she's doing it. She just maybe likes to compete. So I can see that. Yeah, she's still young.
Yeah, because I know she was there. She's doing her Instagram kind of like modeling, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And her husband, you know, fights as well. So, I mean, maybe it's just for the love of competition, but I don't think she really needs to fight.
Yeah, I think it's just for the love of competition. I don't think she needs to fight either.
Explore other avenues.
So that's happening tonight. I think on the card, I think Chris Leben is on the card. He's making another go at BKFC.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it's a later part of his career, mm-hmm. but he's doing his thing over there. And then who else is on the card? Johnny Bedford, Chris Leben. It's okay. Martin Brown, Lorenzo Hunt, Britain Hart is her opponent. I'm trying to see if I can get some information on her, but I don't see a lot. So we'll see how that goes, man. I mean, Paige looked good. I think she's got a little something to prove. I think there's a lot of pressure on her to at least have a decent performance. The weigh-in scuffle was a little awkward because, I don't know, Paige looked like she wants to be nice, and she's not used to getting aggressive with other girls at the weigh-ins. So, this, you know, there was kind of an aggressive altercation at the weigh-ins. It's weird to see Paige kind of like...
Yeah.
You know, be the mm-hmm. I don't know.
I thought of her character and the villain almost. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a bit out of character and it seemed forced, in my opinion.
It kind of seemed forced, especially for the girl. I think it was some weak trash talking. The trash talking was not good. It seemed real, but it just seemed forced and out of character for, I think, the both of them, honestly. I don't even think they're both, it didn't seem natural to them.
I mean, to be honest, I think they're doing it to push the fight.
Yeah, of course, of course. And I don't even think they need to, because that fight alone, you have Paige, it sells kind of itself.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, because people are kind of
intrigued
to see how she's going to look after her UFC career.
Yeah, definitely. So tomorrow night, though, we have a great UFC card. It's a fantastic card, man. I think it's on ESPN Plus. Main card kicks off around 5 p.m. On the prelims around 2 p.m., 1 p.m., somewhere around there. The main card's sick. Have you gotten a chance to look at it? What was that you're breaking up?
Not completely, no.
No? The card's tomorrow.
Not completely. Yeah.
But Benil Dariush kicks off the main card against Diego Ferreira. Askar versus Cody Stemmen.
Ooh.
Manel Cape versus Alexander Pantoho. Clay Guida versus Michael Johnson. Frankie Edgar versus Corey Sanhagen is a co-main event. Hmm. And Alistair Overeem versus Alexander Volkov is the main event.
Shit.
It's a really good, sick main event. A sick main card, I think.
Top heavy
for sure. We could do some fight picks and then get into breaking down a little bit of the you know, what is the most important things to keep an eye on for tomorrow and afterwards, because Alistair, this is a big fight for Alistair Overeem. So Benil Dariush, Diego Ferreira, if you got a pick on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great fight, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, if I had to pick between the two, I'd probably go with Figueroa.
Yeah, Ferreira. I think it's a good pick. Dariush is, I don't know, Dariush is, he's a local guy out of, you know, Huntington Beach. He's been around for a long time. I think he's barely starting to come into his own in his career. He's got fantastic striking and kind of an all-around game, but I don't know. I think there's something about him that I just don't know if he can really crack the top five. I think he's definitely a top 10 kind of fighter, but we'll see after this fight. I think the next fight I would want to take a look at is probably Clay Guida versus Michael Johnson. I think that's an interesting one. You know, Clay's still fighting, still doing his thing.
Yeah, it's kind of odd.
Yeah.
It's a bit odd just because, like, I think that both those fighters are in different parts of their career.
Yeah.
I think you see Clay Guida is at his tail end of his career, where Michael Johnson hasn't been really consistent. You know, he wins one, he loses one. You know, he's up and down.
Yeah. That's the thing with Michael
Johnson. I think Michael Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Michael Johnson. Go ahead. No, I think Michael Johnson is, he's inconsistent. I think that's why he's never been able to maintain his, like, top level spot, because he'll beat a guy like, like freaking Tony Ferguson. He'll beat a guy like, I mean, he's beaten elite guys. He's beaten the top five guys. He's probably given a loss to, or you know, had really good fights against, and not that long ago. And you know, even gave Khabib, you know, the first real big test of his career, when it's stunning him with some punches. So, like, Johnson's like one of those guys that is just dangerous, you know, quick hands and aggressive, but can never put a string of fights together. He'll get a win off of Tony Ferguson, and you think that, oh, sky's the limit for him. And then he drops three in a row to, you know, top 15, top 10 guys. You know what I mean? It's like he can never put it together. That's the story of his career, I think.
I kind of put him in the same category, he reminds me of Gray Maynard. You know, Gray Maynard had so much potential, but he could never get it together.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. He had his biggest fights, biggest string of fights was probably the Frankie fights. But
I mean, out of the two, I would favor Johnson.
Favor Johnson. Yeah. How about Frankie Edgar versus Corey Sanhagen? I think it's a great fight.
He's at his tail end of his career. I think he's not completely done, but there's signs of him, like, maybe not being the same fighter as before, obviously, because of age and stuff. But I think that he's one of those guys that, like, when push comes to shove, he comes through, especially with guys who are quote unquote younger than him. And I don't know. It's kind of hard to pick against Frankie Edgar, and I think I'm going to pick him in this fight.
Yeah. I think I might go with Frankie too. I think Corey Sanhagen is he's young and he's hungry, and this is basically his number one contender fight. Get back at the title shot or get a title shot after this. I think same for Frankie. I think if Frankie gets another title shot at this weight class and gets through a Corey Sanhagen, man, that's a definite, you know, feather in his cap as a Hall of Famer, because he's beating young guys still, and Frankie's not the young guy anymore. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can, you know, beat a guy like Sanhagen. And plus,
it's kind of weird if you think about it.
Yeah. And Sanhagen is not the greatest. He doesn't have the greatest defense in wrestling. So Frankie's a great guy to mix it up. So,
yeah. The thing with Frankie that kind of makes me nervous is obviously his chin. He's not taking punches like he used to before. Mm-hmm. And also, I feel like he forgets about his wrestling sometimes and just wants to box. And that will play against him if he does that in this fight.
Yeah, I think so too, because I think Sanhagen does his mixing of the kicks and punches and spinning attacks pretty well. So I don't know. That's going to be
it's going to be
a good one. I'm looking forward to that one. And then the main event is obviously the Overeem versus Volkov. This is a big fight for Overeem. He's made a statement saying that this is his last like real run at the title. And he's put a bunch of, you know, a good about 3 fight win streak so far, I think. Volkov is coming off a loss, but he's still a dangerous guy in that division. So I don't know. How do you see this fight going?
I mean, this fight, along with the other guys in the fight, it's kind of re-story about the old guys, you know, trying to make that push. And, you know, like Overeem, you know, those guys, you know, Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
I think Overeem, I don't know. I think now it's kind of hard to bet against him, or not to bet against him, but to not root for the guy, because you want to see the, you know, succeed, because he's one of the legends still fighting in the sport. And I was never a really big Overeem, you know, fan, but in this fight, I'm kind of. So I think he's going to beat him. I don't know. It's kind of hard, but you know, he does have that 3 fight win streak on his side, and I can see a situation where he hurts him pretty bad. Maybe TKO. Maybe I'm just talking out of my ass.
No, I think so too. I think it's a dangerous fight because Volkov is not a guy, easy guy that, you know, anybody can put away. You have to really kind of like put him down for the count. He's a well-rounded guy and a big guy. I like Overeem in this fight though. I think he's a different mindset. He's got a different kind of game plan, you know, approach to fighting nowadays. And I think he wants a real run, you know, shot at the title next, or at least the number one contender fight. And I think if he beats Volkov, I think he'll probably get it. Maybe he might be 1 or 2 fights away from it, maybe a title shot. So
it's a heavyweight division, so it's kind of easy to.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's easy to get a title shot. Yeah, I think if you could put enough wins together against a couple of good guys, I think you're it's not a super deep division. Which always surprises me.
You know, go on. I was gonna say that I don't know why they didn't match him against John Jones. First fight for John Jones. Just because Overeem has that name value,
and I don't think John Jones.
It's a beatable opponent for John Jones, I think.
Yeah, I don't think John Jones wants anything else but the title. I think he's in a, he's okay with holding out.
Yeah,
I think so. I think it's, and I know they've had a little bit of training together, you know, at Jackson. So I mean, I think they're familiar with each other. I'm sure John Jones is, you know, he's a big enough guy to where he can handle himself against you know, Alistair Overeem, I think. I don't know, man. I'm gonna go with Overeem on this fight. I think he has what it takes to kind of get the job done. But if he wins, where does he go from here? Who would you match him up against? You have a Derek Lewis versus what's his name? Let me look at the heavyweight division. Go ahead, talk.
The light heavyweight division. I think the heavyweight division is probably still the shallowest division in the UFC. And I mean, so shallow that I think one guy can win a couple of fights and be a number one contender for the heavyweight title. Who's the top five or top three?
Yeah, Stipe Miocic, Francis, Curtis Blaydes, Rozenstruik, and Alistair Overeem. Are you top five?
Yeah, I mean, I think Curtis Blaydes and Overeem would be a great fight.
I think so, too. I think because Curtis Blaydes is fighting Lewis next, and that's like next month. So let's say those two win their fights. Yeah, let's do Curtis Blaydes and Overeem in the summer. I wouldn't mind that
fight. That's a fun fight, actually. It's a typical striker versus wrestler.
Or Overeem versus Rozenstruik, the rematch. That's a good one too, because Overeem was winning that fight up until like the last like 30 seconds. Yeah. So those are two good fights. I'd probably go with either one of those.
Yeah.
And then that would probably be your number one contender fight, you know, after a Stipe or a Francis fight. So
right.
Yeah. What if Overeem loses? What should he do? Continue or retire?
I think he should retire. I think maybe he can fight maybe one time. I don't know, a top 10 guy, a guy that he can, you know, a favorable fight where he can kind of get a win and walk off in the sunset.
Yeah.
But I think after, you know, win or lose, I mean, if he loses, I think that like, he should in the sport that anybody could ask for. He's been a champion in multiple organizations. I think he's a living legend. I think people, you know, remember his wars and pride. So I think he's done it all, man. And I think he has something to prove.
I think so too. I think if he, after Volk, cause if you can't get past the Volkov, and depending on how he loses, I think he should hang it up. I mean, he's champion in almost every other like major organization along the way, outside of the UFC, other than maybe Bellator or a new one, like one championship, but he's a kickboxing champ, Dream, you know, Strikeforce, fought some of the best heavyweights of all time, been always a top five kind of guy throughout his entire UFC run. So I don't know. I think hang it up, go enjoy the kids and maybe get into some commenting, do some European commenting, or like, there's a lot of stuff in that area that he can probably go to, or maybe even help out with Glory. Maybe be a commentator for Glory, or
I was gonna say that. And I'm like, well, yeah.
I mean,
you saw the words out of my mouth. Yeah, man.
Or
I can picture him doing Glory.
Yeah, I don't know what's left on his contract. Maybe he has like a fight or two, but if he can fight out, if this is the last fight out on his contract, or he can get out of his contract, maybe even go and take a couple of good fights against some you know, Glory heavyweights, and maybe a Overeem versus Badahari, or Overeem versus a Rico.
Yeah,
that might be fun. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing that again.
Kickboxing fights. Yeah,
that'll be a big push for that kickboxing needs for sure. I think, you know, and it's less work. It's mostly just striking. He can even get back on the, you know, the TRT if he wanted to. So I think it's a good move.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right. Anything else going on with you this week?
Let's see. Valentine's Day. I know. I just celebrated my 4th year anniversary.
What did you guys do? And did it go well, or what's going
on? I mean, we just ate. We're going to go to a few restaurants. One in the morning, one at night.
Yeah.
Went to Lucille's for barbecue. And then I was looking for that Vanderpump Rosé.
Yeah.
And all the Benvo's, they're sold out, so I had to drive all the way to Pasadena. And I don't know if anybody out there who's watching or listening has ever been to Pasadena, but it's a nice area. Fucking not only nice, but it's fucking richy over there and shit. I came straight from work. I, as soon as I parked in the parking lot, I knew that it's way out of my fucking league as far as me being there. I walk in there, dude. Fucking everybody is white, rich. They fucking look at me like I'm fucking an immigrant that just fucking hopped the wall. And I just asked this guy, like, you know, some guy came up to me and he goes, "You need help?" Yeah. I'm looking for Vanderpump. Before I can even finish Vanderpump, he pointed to all her section. Actually, I grabbed her rosé. You know, paid like $25 just because it has her fucking name on it for our anniversary. I brought like two shine. That was cool, man.
That's good. That's good. That's glad. Glad it went well, dude. I know you're searching everywhere for that rosé. Was it good? At least
strong as fuck.
Was it worth it?
It's strong. I think. I mean.
And it's good. It's really dry,
but the aftertaste. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's dry, but the aftertaste you can taste like a hint of strawberries and peaches. And the AVP, which is alcohol by volume, is like, I think 14%. So
yeah,
it's a pretty strong wine.
Okay. That's good. That's good. Before we go, I don't know if you see Stephen A. Smith's comments on women MMA and how he doesn't like to see women fight.
I don't even know why he keeps commentating. Yeah. It shows me that he has a place in the sport. I mean, I think women's mixed martial arts is as respected as a man, and they have, you know, probably better fights sometimes than the guys do. And I think that through women's MMA, I think women got really empowered through their MMA, and I think they've gained fans, both male and female. And I think that girls fighting in UFC or MMA, you know, deserves the respect from their peers and from everybody else. I think anybody that says against is, to me, are sexist and ignorant.
Yeah, I think so too. And I find it weird. Like, I find it weird coming across certain people that find it weird to watch women fight. I like, there's some type of like macho thing that you just can't get past. Yeah, I think it's like a macho thing that you can't get past. I've heard, like, not from personally, but like maybe a couple people personally that I know that have said it before. I think it's a little bit of one, like this macho, I gotta look at, take care of women, they're supposed to be taken care of, like this old school mentality. And then two, I think it's a little bit of like,
it's a very caveman-ish.
Yeah. And I think it's a little bit of like women that don't need a guy to like defend them. I think that's hard to wrap your head around. You know what I'm saying? Like, or that could kick your ass too. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a little bit of everything, a little bit of all that. It's like an old school mentality.
Maybe it's him being insecure. And it's maybe him, his insecurity is speaking out loud. But I think that his mentality, specifically to me, it sounds very, you know, caveman-ish, because to me, use women as them cooking and being a wife and being and doing quote unquote a man sport, you know.
Yeah.
Where in reality, I think women has helped the mixed martial arts and mainstream. You know, with Ronda, Amanda Nunes, you know, being the first gay fighter. You know, all these women have brought, I think, more mainstream acceptance and a bigger audience, you know, through their fighting.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I thought it was weird. I thought it was out of place for him to say that, especially after the heat that he got from talking shit about Cowboy, and him not even being an MMA kind of like personality. He's just those type of guys that he's involved in sports and feels like he can talk about all sports, whether he's really familiar with it or not. And then we've seen him hit pads. I don't know if you've seen that video of him hitting pads.
Yeah,
fucking embarrassing. So
sad. It's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have all the comeback talk. Max Kellerman, you know, Max Kellerman is he did a thing, it's his thing over there at HBO boxing, so I think he knows a little bit more about combat sports than someone like Stephen A. Smith, who kind of focuses on basketball and basketball alone.
I think so too. All right, man, we'll let you go. We'll you know, try to get one in for the, you know, people on, you know, our fans and all that, and people listening.
Episode, though, man.
Yeah, we try to get something in. You know, do what we can. We're going to probably try to get one in early next week. And then I'll see you later, man.
You know what? Before you go, like, thanks to all the fans who watched our last video. I got a lot of heat. People were in our commentary. It was kind of cool to see.
Yeah, you noticed that, huh?
Those who comment in our video was fucking awesome. People are watching. Yeah. It always makes me happy.
That Ben Askren and Jake Paul, they got a lot of, yeah, thank you for everybody that commented on there, and then, you know, It's yeah. just nice to see.
Yeah. And we encourage it, man. We encourage it.
Yeah. All right, man.
For sure.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, team, man. Take care.